All right, let's thank James, our choir, our band, orchestra up there. Today we celebrate Easter with billions of Christians around the world, and there are pastors who are standing in front of congregations just like these, and the pastor says, "Christ is risen," and the congregation responds, let's try that again. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Growing up, I never thought that I would one day have to wear eyeglasses. I just didn't think that was going to be my experience. My dad had perfect vision. I went through elementary school, high school, played a little bit of basketball, no problem, perfect vision, college. Everything's great, still seeing clearly. Then I got into grad school, seminary. Some people jokingly call it cemetery. Preacher joke. And it's about my, mid-year. I was around 25 years of age, and I was in Dallas. I was driving down the street, and someone said, "Hey, turn right at Greenville." I go, "Where?" They go, "Greenville. Don't you see the sign?" And I said, once we got close from the car, "Well, yeah, now I see it." And they go, "Well, something wrong with your eyes?" I go, "No, my eyes are great. I have perfect vision." And then we kept going, turned another block, and they said, "Turn here, which street?" And I was struggling again. They said, "Listen, you need to go get your eyes checked out." So I didn't want to do that because I'm a guy, and that's just, we just don't like to do things like that. And so I did. I went to, see guy who was examining my eye and trying to figure out and took the test, and they said it looked like you were going to have glasses. And then they put that kind of diving bell thing in front of my face. And they go, "This or this? This or this or this? This or this? This or this? Better this. And they tried to fit me for glasses. So I eventually got eyeglasses. And I had to have glasses for almost everything that I did. Glasses to read, glasses when I spoke, sunglasses. Glasses when I played sports, just prescription glasses galore. And what's interesting about my loss of eyesight as it got poor, it happened gradually. For some people, it's kind of quickly. For me, it happened over time. That's why I didn't realize that I was, in a sense, losing my 20/20 vision. But, man, eyes affect everything that we do. And to wear glasses means that you need help in order to see things clearly. But our eyes are not just about what we can see visually. Eyes, in a sense, are also revealing, aren't they? Over the years, I've had the privilege of officiating hundreds of weddings. And somewhere in the wedding ceremony, I will say to the bride and groom, I will say, "Join each other's hands and look into your eyes, because eyes are the windows to the soul." And repeat the following vows. We can see things in people's eyes. We can see love in people's eyes. Also, we can look in someone's eyes and we can see fear. We can see doubt in someone's eyes. We can see sadness and grief and sorrow when we look into someone's eyes. And we have a phrase for that. We'll say, "Hey, I could see it in their eyes." And the greater you know someone, the better your ability you have to read and to be able to see what's going on behind their eyes. It would be kind of amazing if we could jump into a time machine here today and go back, not to the first Easter Sunday morning, but to Saturday night before the first Easter. And if we could look into the eyes of some of those early followers of Christ, I wonder what we would see. If we looked into Peter's eyes, the ultimate alpha male who failed big time, When Christ needed him the most, he denied him but betrayed him. I bet if we looked in Peter's eyes back then, we would see fear. We would see failure in his eyes. If we could look into the eyes of Thomas, maybe we would see perplexity, or we would see doubt already start to develop if we looked into Thomas' eyes. And perhaps we saw Mary Magdalene's eyes, who Christ had cast these demons out of, maybe we would see a sense of hopelessness or grief as we looked into her eyes. I have a feeling that if we looked into their eyes, we could see that their dreams had been dashed, their hope had been crushed, and they were huddled in that upper room wondering, how in the world are we going to make it through just one more day? How are we going to make it? Now that our leader has been humiliated, crucified, and he's buried in a tomb, what in the world are we going to do next? And you could see that sense of worry, anxiety, and fear, and despair if we could look into their eyes. But little did they know, something was about to happen the very next day. Little did they know that the next day they were about to see something, experience something that would change their lives personally, and that would eventually change the trajectory of the entire world. John tells a story in John chapter number 20, where he said, early on that first Easter morn, that Sunday morn, when the sun was not risen yet, Mary Magdalene went down to the grave where she believed they had laid Jesus. And when she went to the grave, she saw that someone had moved the stone away. She looked inside the tomb and it was empty. And she was distraught. She was sad. She didn't know what was going on. So she was going and leaving the tomb. She bumped into someone she thought was the gardener. And she told the gardener what was going on and wondering where in the world had they put Jesus Christ. And then the person that Mary thought was the gardener said, Mary, Mary. And Mary immediately realized that it was the Lord, it was Christ. And she began to cling to him and worship him. And Jesus said, go back and tell the disciples. And so in John 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. In other words, she is saying, Christ is risen. The disciples, when they heard the news from Mary, didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. That doesn't happen. That's not possible. What do you mean you've seen the Lord? But later that evening, on that first Easter Sunday, in that upper room, as they were huddled there with fear in their eyes, Christ appeared to them, and the disciples saw Christ. Thomas was not there. They went out the next day and told Thomas, Thomas, you're not going to believe this. We have seen Christ, and he is alive. Christ is risen. And Thomas said, no way. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it till I see him and see his scars and touch his hands and side. Then as days passed, as they were in that same room, Thomas was with his disciples, the doubter, and Christ appeared to him, and Thomas got down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. These early disciples had truly an eye-opening experience. They had an encounter with Christ that was empirical, that was evidential and that was experiential. Personally, it gave them hope. Jesus would reinstate Peter. I'm sure Peter thought, there's no way God can use me after what I have done. But Christ forgave him and empowered him and sent him out to be the leader in that early church. Thomas, the doubter, the skeptic, I'm not going to believe till I see. He went out and left the country eventually, and he was martyred in the nation of India years later. Mary Magdalene became one of the closest followers of Christ there in that area, as she had this tremendous story to tell others about her deliverance and the deep love that God in Christ has for her. In that moment, when they saw Christ and when they began to see him over a period of 40 days alive from the dead, God gave them Easter eyes. He gave them Easter eyes. I was reading a book years ago, and it was a debate between an American theologian and a British theologian, and the American theologian said that the entire Gospels, and I would argue the entire New Testament, was written through Easter eyes. In other words, the resurrection was the great reversal that changed everything. So not only did they see him alive from the dead, resurrected, which was very perplexing, all of a sudden, all those sayings that Christ said that seemed so strange and enigmatic, all those paradoxes and all those parables and stories began to make sense. Even his bloody, messy death, his crucifixion, began to make sense as they realized, oh, he is the sacrifice. He is the lamb. He shed his blood on the cross as a substitute. He is our mediator. And somehow everything started connecting. It's like that famous graduation speech that Stephen Jobs gave years ago at Stanford. It's called The Dots Connect. Somehow the dots connect. He talked about in his own career that if you follow your passion, all these things in your life that you think don't make sense or disjointed, if you keep following your passion long enough, somehow they're going to connect and start to make sense. And he talked about how all those things came into being so that he started this company that you carry around in your back pocket and purse right now. So when Christ came back from the grave, The man who wrote these scriptures, you know, began to connect all these dots from the Old Testament scriptures, from all the sayings of Christ, and somehow they realized that everything hinged on this resurrected Christ, and that Jesus Christ was and is who he says he was. The gospel spread throughout the Mediterranean world. Started with nothing. No money, no school, no army, no military, no political influence, nothing. And within 300 years, because of their commitment and their belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life that he can give, Christianity, by 325 AD, had taken over the entire Roman world. Everything hinged on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything hinged on their experience of seeing Christ and then with those Easter eyes gaining a perspective that they never have. Because if Christ is alive, if he's alive, that means that he is here with us now, that he can be inside of us, and that we will be with him forever even when we die, because death is dead. Death is dead. Easter eyes. Later on, there was an enemy of the Christian faith by the name of Paul. He had a radical conversion experience. In order for him to have Easter eyes, he had to be blinded. by the light. But once he converted to Christianity, he wrote a good part of the New Testament. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, because some of the Corinthians were saying, well, maybe the resurrection is really not important. And Paul said, no, are you kidding me? Without the resurrection, without Easter eyes, we're flying blind. Good Friday is bad Friday. The cross is foolishness. Christianity is an utter joke. Without Easter eyes, we're unforgiven, unwanted, and unaware in this vast universe. But he writes, with Easter eyes, we have real hope in this life and in the life to come. With Easter eyes, we have deep joy in the midst of our trials and suffering in this world and in our life. With Easter eyes, we know that God loved us so much, he entered into our space-time existence, died on a cross, rose again, that we might be forgiven and personally know the love of God in our life. When we have Easter eyes, we are empowered to see life in an entirely different way. When we have Easter eyes, we realize that he is alive, that he is with us, that he is in us, and that we will be with him in the life to come. And this is not some mythical, metaphorical, symbolic kind of deal. No, no, no. Christianity is not a bunch of rules and values and absolutes and truths and ethics and morality, though it does contain many of those things. Christianity is the announcement of what God has done in this world. Christianity is the announcement that God has come to us in Christ in an ultimate and final way to show us what life is really like, to pay a price that we should have paid, to rise again to show that if we trust in him, that death will not keep any of us down. That's what it means to have these Easter eyes. It means that he is with us, he is in us, and that we will be with him when we pass on to this other sphere of existence, where he is. My prayer going into the service for us today is that God would give us Easter eyes. And it's at the same time I realize that, you know, when we gather in a place like this and we're talking about the resurrection of Christ, there are all kinds of folks here and we respond in different ways. When Paul was in Athens in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, and the people there were primarily Epicureans and Stoics. And Stoicism's kind of made a comeback today. And he was talking to them about the resurrection. He was explaining to them how the resurrection related to the existence of God and how that could affect your life. And when he said this, some people there mocked him. Right? They just laughed and said, that's crazy talk. Other people thought, this is kind of interesting. We've never really heard about the resurrection. And some of the people there in Athens became believers. So on a Sunday morning, Easter Sunday here, that's kind of a common reaction among people. Some people laugh. Some people go, that's interesting. I'd like to hear more. And others say, hooray, right? I'm with you. I believe. Maybe you're wondering, maybe you're not, but Ben, are you wearing contacts right now? No, I'm not. I tried contacts, but my eyes were too dry and it did not work for me. So about 30 years ago, I had a friend of mine in a different state, gifted surgeon, and he said I qualified for, not LASIK, but PRK, where they zap your eyes and fix them, right? So I got one eye zapped. Not both. Stew chicken. Got one eye zapped. And when that happened, glasses no more. Prescription glasses no more. I could see again. And then about 9 years after that, it kind of started to wear off a little bit, and another gifted surgeon here in our city fixed the eye, and I'm great. My eyesight's fantastic. And obviously, it affects everything that I do, my driving, my work, time with my family, hobbies, things I do, games, all that. Your eyesight affects everything you do. But mine needed an adjustment, like all of ours does. And so I think when we look at something as awesome and mysterious and transcendent as the resurrection, many times we need to have an adjustment, if you would, of our Easter eyes. And ask God to give us that Easter eye perspective as we look at our family, as we look at real life fears that we're facing, as we look at our future, say, God, give me those Easter eyes that those disciples had. Give me, Father, those Easter eyes to really know that as I go out and face the rugged realities of the world, that you are with me, that you are in me, and that someday I will be with you. God, give me those eyes, that perception, that perspective to see in that way. Easter eyes. One of the most brilliant experts, scholars on the resurrection is a guy by the name of Dr. Gary Habermas. And Gary Habermas is not your, no offense, your typical kind of, you know, glasses, a little intellectual Mr. Rogers. Gary Habermas is a big dude. He used to wrestle and be a wrestling coach, so you know he's a great guy. So he has written books, scholarly articles. He's had debates with atheists and skeptics about the resurrection around the world. And one day someone asked him, they said, Dr. Habermas, tell me, how has the resurrection affected you personally? What difference has all this evidence, you know, intellectual evidence for the resurrection made in your life on a personal level? And Dr. Habermas said, I'll tell you. He said, when my wife, Debbie, was diagnosed with terminal cancer, it was the reality of the resurrection that gave me strength. So I had four kids. She was going through treatment. She wasn't getting any better. We knew that she was going to die. And she said, time and time again, he said, I turned to the reality of the resurrection, that Christ is alive. He's with me, that one day I will be with him. And he said, if it was good for the disciples 2,000 years ago, it's good enough for me today. He said, it's tough, the most difficult thing I've ever been through in my entire life, losing my wife. He said, but it was the resurrection and his power that got me through, and the hope that one day I would be with Debbie, I would be with Christ, and that one day when I passed, I would see them both. Easter eyes. Easter eyes. Because Christ is risen.